Hey everyone, welcome to Comedy History 101. This is Harmon. Whoa, I hope everyone's in a good mood because it looks like we dodged the death of democracy. It was tense for a while, so we're ready to come back with some comedy history on the history of the comedian Freddie Prinze. Yes, there's a new Showtime series on the Comedy Store Comedy Club, and episode one centers on Freddie Prinze and his contributions to the world of comedy, and we will do a deep dive into that. But before we jump into the episode, take some time to like, subscribe, and comment on Comedy History 101, wherever you get your podcasts, or on our site, comedyhistory101.com. Also, support our Patreon page, patreon.com/CH101. Support our show. Give us a few dollars. We will continue to create content. And without further ado,
you're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured the audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.
I come from two backgrounds, Hungarian and Puerto Rican. My dad, I'm a Hungarian. It's like a very heavy title because I could never figure out how my parents met, a gypsy and a Puerto Rican. I asked my mother. She said they're on the subway trying to pick each other's pocket.
There, what you heard there was a clip of Freddie Prinze in his first appearance on The Tonight Show at age 19 years old. And yes, you've tuned into another episode of
Comedy History 101.
Where we school you in comedy. I am Harmon Leon, and with me, as always, is Scott Kalonico. Scott, define to me what a Hungarian is.
I don't know, Harmon. I'm still waiting on the votes to come in. I can't make any prognostications at this point. We got to wait till all the votes are in and they're all counted.
On what a Hungarian is?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so what you heard there, so that was a clip. Freddie Prinze, what do you know of Freddie Prinze?
What do I know about Freddie Prinze?
No, the guy behind you. What does
I don't know. I thought. I don't know if you were asking that hypothetically or to an unseen audience or asking our audience. What do I know about Freddie Prinze? Man, I know Chico and the Man. That's what I know. What more do you need to know?
Yeah. So he is known for largely Chico and the Man, but also what brings him into why this story now is there's a new Showtime documentary series on our favorite comedy club of all time, The Comedy Store, have you seen the doc series, Scott?
No, I have not yet.
Okay, let me give you a little synopsis. It is amazing how they put two episodes of just fascinating material into five episodes.
Okay, all right.
kind of stretched on a bit, a lot of filler, but the first two episodes of the doc series are really good. And episode one is specifically centered around the career of Freddie Prinze, some of you might know as the father of who, Scott?
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Exactly.
You see how that works. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways, that clip, just to digress into that, that's like very 70s New York humor. Like when you saw the movie The King of Comedy, and they had to create a screenwriter to create a stand-up comedy set for Rupert Pumpkin. It was very Rupert Pumpkin-esque.
Pumpkin. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was very Rupert Pumpkin-esque that he would do on the Jerry Show.
Well, that was all just kind of, because I watched that same set, and it's all just, it's like that perfect kind of 70s, 80s. That's pretty much what they told you to do, where you're playing a character of yourself, he did it. He fit the mold.
He fit the mold. But sadly, how did it turn out for Freddie Prinze? Or should we save it to the end?
I think we should save it to the end. If people don't know, then they'll be hooked. They'll be hooked and they'll be waiting because now they know something happens at the end.
So as you mentioned, Scott, Freddie Prinze is best known for the star of the NBC TV sitcom Chico and the Man, which ran from 1974 to 1977.
Chico, don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand.
And Freddie Prinze was cast as the star on the show alongside of Jack Albertson and the great Scatman Crothers, who we know from, of course, Scott, The Shining.
The Shining, yeah. And also, I forgot that Charo, the Hoochie Coochie lady, was on that show.
Yeah, Charo, and also Jose Feliciano, yeah, who did the theme song.
Yeah, I saw him. Actually, I saw an episode where he was playing Light My Fire.
I'll reveal the spoiler alert. He landed on The Tonight Show at age 19, got his own sitcom, but by the age of 22 in 1977, sadly, took his own life. I mean, pretty much had everything in the world going for him. Was the first big breakout star of the Comedy Store, and as we know in the history of the Comedy Store, which we've talked about here on Comedy History 101 on our episodes on the Comedy Store strike, a big turning point in the history of the Comedy Store was when The Tonight Show in 1972 moved from New York to Los Angeles. And suddenly the Comedy Store became the big breeding ground for, you know, talent scouts of The Tonight Show to come out and scout comedy. And What was it like back in the early days of like 72, 73? Was there an internet where people could post their stand-up clips? Was there cable television with tons of comedy talk shows where comedians could perform?
Well, Harmon, if you want to get technical, technically, yes, there was an internet, and technically, yes, there was cable TV, but not...
Okay, so let's say you were on a non... Was there a non-military
internet? Yeah, we were... Yeah. If you were not on a military base and wanted to post, or a DARPANET facility, and you wanted to post something, no, it was not possible. There was basically...
Could you work the internet with as much memory that was inside of Johnny Mnemonic, played by Keanu Reeves' 80 gigabyte brain?
Yeah, no, Harmon. It's not like today, jumping onto a Zoom with all your friends and doing. No, you had to go hit the streets.
So what you're saying when you hit the streets is in 72, 73, you pulled out your iPhone. And you could watch
Harmon.
On TikTok
comedy
clip of Freddie Prinze lip syncing to Donald Trump speeches.
No, there was no
Netflix TV show.
No, there was no ping pong back then. What do the kids call it? The ping tick tack whatever. Yeah. Yeah, like unlike Freddie Prinze, who had to kind of start out on his own. He started at the age of 16, Harmon.
In New York City, let's back up a bit. Freddie Prinze, not his real name.
What?
And so Freddie Prinze is like iconic joke because I also heard him say it on when he was on the episode of who was the host of the Midnight Special? Oh, Wolfman Jack.
Wolfman Jack, dude. All
yeah. So he's one of his
Don
iconic
Kirshner's
jokes.
Rock concert.
Yeah. So one of his iconic jokes was, I'm half Puerto Rican and half Hungarian. I'm a Hungarican. But in reality, his last name was, and you'll appreciate this, Scott, because you live in Berlin. His last name was Prutzel.
Mm-hmm. Prutzel. Yeah.
Because his father was German, which doesn't make sense. I'm half German, half Puerto Rican. I'm a Germarican.
Kind of funnier. Yeah, that is. I wonder why he changed that. We could be Freddie Prinze's joke writers.
That's right. And as he mentioned in the Tonight Show clip, he grew up in Washington Heights. A little shout out to Word Up Storytelling Series, which during non-pandemic times takes place in Washington Heights. And I've been on several times and know the neighborhood well. Freddie grew up as a chubby kid, was bullied. So his mom enrolled him in ballet classes to help him with his weight problem. And Scott, do you know where he went to high school, which later got captured into a famous movie where the title song, they claim they want to live forever.
Oh, well, all the one I remember was the piano one that goes dun 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 dun, and something about them eating lunch. Lunch, Sadie, lady, that's all I remember. And Ben Stiller's mom.
Oh, so yeah, so he went to LaGuardia High School of Performing Arts, which what we were hinting at was the high school in the movie Fame.
Yeah, so he could have been in Fame.
That's right. So he was introduced to drama. He continued with ballet, but found he had a gift for comedy. And that's another thing about like these performing arts high schools. Like, I was thinking about this, like Tupac actually also went to another performing arts high school in the Bay Area. And we always think of him as like, you know, the ultimate gangster rapper. But, you know, he was in Fame.
Was he? Yeah.
He went to a Fame high school.
It's funny. It's kind of weird speaking about Fame. Like, actually, none of the actors who were actually in the movie Fame actually ever got to be that famous. So Irene Cara got kind of big, I guess.
There was the guy with the red hair went on, and he was a regular on a, I think it was like a medical TV show.
All right, we'll have to look into that. Oh wait, Paul. Yeah,
on our Fame episode.
Paul McCrane. Yeah, there he is. Okay, I remember. Okay, yeah, he's doing all right. I'm just checking on that. He's doing okay, but not super famous. But the other thing that I thought was interesting about, to go back to Freddie Prinze, was he was a big ham radio operator.
Yeah.
And he handmade a ham radio. Say that 10 times fast. Handmade a ham radio, and he used it all the time. He was kind of I guess they call themselves hammies. I don't know what ham radio people call themselves.
I will save that for our episode on the comedy history of ham radios. Ham radio.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Freddie Prinze, he was like one of these comedy enigmas that you tie into, say, Eddie Murphy, who started comedy and was hitting the clubs at 16, and Dave Chappelle. You know, they started when they were 16 years old and just kind of, you know, knew their calling.
Yeah, they had the gift, you know. So what can you say? They went out there, they did it.
Yeah, and for Prinze, he was hitting the New York clubs like Catch a Rising Star and the Improv. And, you know, obviously he drew his comedy from his mixed heritage. The Improv owner, Bud Freeman, recalled that the teenager was, guess what, Scott? An instant success.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah. He had the gift for gab. He had the stage presence that made people, you know, pay attention, and he could get up there and walk the walk and talk the talk.
Yeah, but how he changed his name from Prutzel was he said that Bob Hope is the king of comedy. Everyone knows that. I just want to be content with being the prince. And later he just changed his name to Freddie Prinze.
Yeah, also because there was another comedian by the name of Alan King, who was obviously the king of comedy, so he couldn't take that name.
Yeah, Freddie King, that doesn't, you know, no. not too much. It doesn't ring as well.
Not as good as Germarican, dude. We wrote
Germarican.
Germarican.
I know, that's so much funnier.
That is way funnier. Let's talk to Freddie Prinze Jr. Let's talk to him and see if
he
could rewrite his dad's joke retroactively.
Yeah, so again, you know, moved out to LA when he was about 18 years old. And his first television appearance was in 1973, and he appeared on Jack Parr Tonight. And could I do an impression of the guest who was also on with Freddie Prinze on the 1973 edition of Jack Parr Tonight? And to see if you can guess.
Okay, let's hear it.
Damn you! Damn you all to hell! You've done it! You've finally done it! Hits the sand of the beach as we see the Statue of Liberty submerged in the water.
It's a madhouse! It's
you
made
bloody
of people!
You destroyed his brain!
Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston was on the show, Jack Parr Show, with Freddie Prinze, and Charlton Charlton Heston actually said he hoped one day he would be able to say he was on the first show on which Freddie Prinze performed. So I guess Charlton Heston liked him.
Yeah, and he was. He was on the first show that Freddie Prinze performed.
Yeah.
So like I said, so he moved to L.A. I read he roomed with Jay Leno, who were both, you know, fledgling comedians at the time. And it was actually under Jay Leno's tutelage. Under Jay Leno's, what does that word mean?
Tutelage. Like his, you know, he was like his mentor. No, well, tutelage. Yeah, he was like his mentor.
Yeah, so Jay Leno actually taught Freddie Prinze to drive because, know why? We live in New York. We don't have to drive. We take the subway.
No, you don't need it. Yeah, same here in Berlin. You don't need to drive anywhere.
But he also roomed with another teenage comic, Alan Bursky. They were both, I believe, 18 years old at the time when they were in L.A. Bursky also later went on to appear on The Tonight Show and The Partridge Family.
Ah, okay. Was he a regular in The Partridge Family? Or
no, he played Reuben Kincaid's nephew who temporarily was the manager of the band. I checked out an episode.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, it's interesting that we'll have to get into that because what was that? Dave Madden, that comedian who played Reuben Kincaid, he actually had a really long career in stand-up, and he was kind of
really.
We'll have to go into him because he was one of those nightclub performers back in the day.
Oh wow, that's kind of interesting. We'll dive into
that'll be
that.
A whole nother episode.
Yeah, so one of Mike Alan Bursky, who later comes into the tragic portion of this episode, one of his big jokes, I saw like two stand-up sets of his. He was a tiny guy, probably still is because he's still alive, and he's also featured in the first episode of the Comedy Store doc series. One of his big jokes was, I was employed as a lawn ornament for Wilt Chamberlain's home. Because he was short.
Small. Okay, get it. Yeah, no worries.
And also, just another tie-in to the Showtime series, it's directed by former comedian Mike Binder, who went on to have pretty good career directing. He also directed Bill Burr's like stand-up special. And, you know, he's had a career since moving on from stand-up comedy. But in the, I believe it was 1979 Freddie Prinze biopic, Mike Binder plays Alan Bursky.
Oh, whoa. Wow. That's kind of weird. Yeah. And you can find that. We'll post it in our in the post up on comedyhistory101.com. But you can find that TV biopic on YouTube pretty easy. And it's, you know, it's what you would think a 1979 TV biopic looks like.
What, did you watch it?
Yeah, I skipped through it. Yeah, it was, you know, TV biopic.
Yeah, okay. So when Freddie Prinze, again, he was the first breakout star of the Comedy Store after Johnny Carson moved. He was also one of the first two comedians ever to be asked to sit down and talk with Johnny after his set.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I'm going
to... He got the wave over. Come on.
He got the wave over. I'm going to ask the obvious question here. Do we know who the other two comedians were?
I don't know.
I should. Okay.
Maybe Alan Bursky.
I asked a question that I didn't know the answer for. You keep talking. I'll look it up.
I'm going to put money, and maybe our listeners know. I would say maybe Rodney Dangerfield.
Actually, it's quite a few, man. So I can't. All I have is a list of comedians who appeared on the show and then got the wave over.
So, yeah, sure. So I think, if Freddie Prinze was December 1973.
Yeah, these are all 80s people, but just for people keeping track at home. Sure. Jerry Seinfeld did not get the wave.
The deal with not getting the wave?
What does he do? He waves or he doesn't wave?
Do you sit down? Like, do you go behind the curtain?
Yeah. Drew Carey did not get the wave. But who did get the wave?
Louis Anderson.
Well, and our favorite comedian from the Ukraine.
Oh, Yakov Smirnov?
Yeah, he got the wave.
America, talk show host waves at you, but in Russia, you wave at talk show host.
Yeah, and Jose and Ahmed the dead terrorist, Jeff Dunham, he got the wave.
Oh, and his puppet.
Yeah. And
I do believe Louis Anderson, though, was definitely one of the people that got the wave.
Okay. Keep going. Keep talking. I found
a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
So Scott, from the appearance on, so again, Freddie Prinze appeared December 1973 on The Tonight Show, and Chico and the Man aired September 1974. So he got scooped up right away.
Yeah, I mean he was a hot property, so he had to get the like the traditional kind of thing that we're talking about, where you went up on stage, you created this persona, you honed that persona, and then you got a sitcom based on that persona.
Yeah, and it was during that comedy sitcom era where the lead comedian had the comedy catchphrase that they said like every episode to applause. Like, okay, so you got Gary Coleman, what'd you talk about, Willis? And he had to say it like every episode. Yeah. And every episode he got applause. You had Jimmy J.J. Walker, of course, who was at the time the guru. He was the biggest star at the Comedy Store at the time.
Exactly.
He had Dynamite.
Dynamite.
And he said it every single episode to get applause. I mean, it's kind of like that Ricky Gervais episode of Extras when he's on the sitcom. And what was his catchphrase?
You having a laugh. Yeah.
So Freddie Prinze's catchphrase turned out to be looking good. So, but before they initially started out with the catchphrase, that's not my job, which he used in his stand-up act, but people started complaining because it gave off the image of a lazy Hispanic going, that's not my job. So they switched it to looking good.
Looking clap, clap, good. Clap.
Oh, and here's something very interesting, which also ties into a comedy duo that we need to do an episode on. Chico and the Man was originally developed for Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, I know that was pretty interesting. I didn't know that. And then it seemed like they turned out they wanted to do movies instead.
And they did great movies. Those 70s movies.
Up in Smoke, dude. You can't. That's still funny.
Yeah, I love those early Cheech and Chong movies. So the series was created by James Comack. Did he also do Welcome Back, Kotter?
Yeah, that's the Welcome Back, Kotter guy, yeah.
And what else? What is in his lineage? What is in his wheelhouse?
I don't know. What more do you need than Welcome Back, Kotter and Chico and the Man?
Ah, and in Act 3 of our podcast, we tie into John Travolta and his success on Welcome Back, Kotter. But we'll get to that. Here's something I really liked. Mad Magazine, which we've also done an episode on here at Comedy History 101. You can check it out on our back catalog or on our site, comedyhistory101.com. They spoofed Chico and the Man. Scott, what did they call their version of Chico and the Man?
Pico and... Der Mensch?
No, it's not Pico in the Ugh. No. They called it Chico, spelled C-H-E-E-K-O, Chico right. And the Ham.
Oh, boy. So just that, just to get an update on two things, dude. First of all, on James Comack, the producer of Chico and the Man that we're wondering about. Yeah, so it was just, he pretty much did Chico and the Man, Welcome Back, Cotter. And he did The Courtship of Eddie's Father way before that, or, you know, about 10 years before that. And then he just kind of retired. Oh, well, he died in 1997, so.
Well, that's a big retirement.
Yeah, that's what, he went to the big retirement. He did another show called Me and Max. Ooh, that looks interesting. Oh, 1980.
Somehow that sounds like it would involve like a talking robot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I will go look that up. And
Max, will you compute what the stock rates are doing criminals today on Wall Street?
And so here's the definitive answer I found on the comedians who were waved over to the couch. And it's interesting because apparently Freddie Prinze was the only person who got that on their first time. We're saying that on their first time. Yeah. So I don't see anybody else from the 70s, but the other comedians were Stephen Wright, Jeff Ockmar, the dead terrorist, Dunham, Drew Carey, and Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, yeah, Ellen DeGeneres did. Yeah, that's right.
Who I've interviewed. I interviewed Ellen.
Nice. What, did you guys dance?
No, it was over the phone.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
So through
okay,
the
and just one last update, Harmon. Yeah. Just in, if we care about it, and Me and the Max does not involve a robot.
Boo! That's why it wasn't a hit.
That's why it didn't last. Yeah.
But speaking of instant hits, Chico and the Man was an instant hit, and through the success, he appeared on, one of my favorite shows, which we got to do an episode on, the Dean Martin Celebrity Roast.
Yes.
Which always featured, like, Sammy Davis Jr. and Frank Sinatra and Don Rickles.
And Billy Crystal.
Yeah. No, I think, well, the early, yeah, I guess so, Billy Crystal.
Yeah. Yeah, young Billy Crystal. He was doing a Muhammad Ali impression, which I don't think you could get.
Oh, on the Muhammad Ali roast one, yeah.
Yeah.
And you always had Don Rickles calling everyone a hockey puck.
Yeah, I know. That's the best part.
But it's crazy. Like, on those roasts, like, Freddie Prinze is, like, 21 years old, 22 maybe, and he just, like, had, like, so much charisma and just, like, you know, held his own alongside of, you know, Frank Sinatra and all these, you know, iconic showbiz legends, yeah, while just being just like right out of his teen years. What else did he appear on?
Well, I'm looking at to see who else he appeared in the Million Dollar. It was like a made-for-TV movie, the Million Dollar Ripoff. I'm trying to see if there's anybody. Nobody really famous within a period with Joanna Kearns, who some of us might remember from the show with Alan Thicke. What was that? Growing Pains? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Growing Pains with born-again Christian Cameron.
Kirk Cameron, yeah.
Yeah, he stars in all these like Christian sci-fi movies now.
He
debates evolutionary scientists.
Yes, but what's interesting that a lot of people didn't know that Freddie Prinze had a little known talent for singing, and he would pop up. He appeared in the title song of a Tony Orlando and Don album. That's another episode right there. Tony Orlando and Don were a singing group who had a variety show back in the 70s, and there's actually a pretty funny clip where Tony Orlando and Don come out. Don were two women singers, for those of you who are unfamiliar with this. And so the show started, and Freddie Prinze comes out as Tony Orlando, and then Freddie Prinze as Tony Orlando introduces Freddie Prinze, and then Tony Orlando comes out as Freddie Prinze. The joke here being that they looked similar.
Did Tony Orlando do stand up?
Yeah, it was. I told you, it's kind of funny. We'll put that on the Comedy History 101 page. Yeah.
Yeah. So at the time, Freddie Prinze, like 4 months before his death, he signed a 5-year deal with NBC worth $6 million, and we're talking $6 million in 1970s money.
Oh, my God. Which, all right, I'll convert that.
So I'm saying,
that,
I'm going to say it, $20 million okay. in today money.
What year was it? 74?
Yeah, 75, I think. I think it was 75, the same year he put out his album, I think, called Looking Good.
Yeah, you're right. So that would be $6 million in 1975 would be about $29 million today.
Yeah, holy shit. You know, yeah,
Jesus.
So, but it was sort of his undoing because you know, the classic too much too fast adage of show business. Again, you know, he jumped on the Tonight Show at 19 and was on a sitcom by the age of 20. And also at the time, to ease his insecurities from the long working hours, he turned to Quaaludes, coke, and other drugs.
Yeah, Quaaludes is such a quintessential 70s drug.
Yeah, why isn't that drug around? Because it was just fucking lame. Like, you never hear just, anyone going, I just popped a lewd.
I need some lewds. No, nobody's doing that anymore.
Yeah, so that's like a pure 70s thing?
Yeah.
Probably. So we mentioned that Freddie Prinze Jr. is his son, and for a brief time he was married to a woman named Kathy Cochran, who was the mother of Freddie Prinze Jr. And in 1976, he was arrested for driving under the influence of aforementioned Quaaludes. And a few weeks later, his wife filed for divorce. Before that, though, he was romantically linked to actress Pam Grier. What do you know of Pam Grier?
Blaxploitation movies.
Yeah, Foxy Brown.
Yeah. Didn't enjoy that one.
No, the Quentin Tarantino one or the Blaxploitation?
The Quentin Tarantino one.
Yeah, that was a little bit weak. I don't even remember the original ones were great.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, I always forget that Robert De Niro was in that one.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's kind of a forgettable movie.
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, she was...
I don't even remember.
An air hostess, and there was some heist, and then...
Yeah, was Jim Carrey in that one, too?
I don't think Jim Carrey was in it.
Oh, it was... And it was Bridget Fonda, man, when she's...
Yeah, Bridget Fonda.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, so... And just a side note, at the time, he was taking martial art lessons from Robert Wall, who was a student of Bruce Lee, and he also appeared in Enter the Dragon and Return of the Dragon. And
ooh,
Wall
okay.
became a godfather of Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, okay. Nice.
But things started to unravel. So in the Showtime series, great interview with Jimmy J.J. Walker, who also gave a great WTF interview because he's, you know, he was there in the early days of, you know, the Comedy Store. So Jimmy Walker said that Freddie Prinze would like always call him up at like 4 a.m, say, you got to come over here, man. I'm really depressed. And, you know, Jimmy Walker would go over there and they'd be like, you know, 10 people already there. at his place. But
yeah.
So Freddie Prinze started getting paranoid of like John Travolta, who at the time, like Freddie Prinze was like on all the cover of the teen magazines like Tiger Beat and stuff. And then suddenly John Travolta starred in another James Comack vehicle, Welcome Back Carter. And he started being on all the covers of the teen magazines.
Mm-hmm. With his catchphrase, do you remember that one?
Barbarina. Dynamite!
No, Baba. Vinnie Barbarino.
No, what was it?
It was, up your nose with the rubber hose.
Yeah.
You don't remember that one.
No, but I'm game to do a Welcome Back Cotter.
Okay, yeah. An up your nose with the rubber hose.
So I read that he became so obsessed with John Travolta, but that he came to his front door with a loaded pistol. But I believe in the Showtime series, Jimmy Walker said he came to his door with a crossbow, and he shot arrows into his door. again, a lot of coke, a lot of Quaaludes.
Yeah, on the Dave Chappelle show, as Rick James said, cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, so sadly, he just started mentioning to friends that he had thoughts of suicide. You know, he'd say this to Tony Orlando and David Brenner. He started suffering depression after his divorce. And on the night of January 28th, 1977, after talking on the telephone with a strange wife, Prinz received a visit from his business manager, Marvin Dusty Snyder. With Snyder looking on, Prinz put a gun to his head and shot himself.
Yeah, a little Russian roulette, yeah.
Yeah, so he often like joked about Russian roulette, and he often joked to Alan Bursky, who was his roommate. He joked and would say, "Can you see this headline? Freddie Prinz dead." And I would get back to him and say, "You better hope that isn't an earthquake that day." And it turns out there was a blizzard in New York that day, and the headline of the New York Times was "Snow Sun City." Snow stuns city. Underneath it said, "Freddie Prinz succumbs to self-inflicted gunshot," which Bursky said was one of the saddest days in show business.
Oh, yeah.
And it was also said, though, and they go into this, that Prinz purchased his gun in the presence of Jimmy J.J. Walker and Alan Bursky. But it was long rumored that Bursky... Hold on, my headphones fell out. There we go. It was rumored that Bursky was the one who gave him the gun, but in the Showtime show, he said he wasn't.
Okay, yeah. So one of Jim, this is interesting. We'll have to do a little cross promotion here. But one of Prince's, or his last gig was for the inauguration of President Carter in January 1977.
That's right. Yeah, that would make a perfect "This is the President."
Okay, we'll have to have you on, Harmon.
Here, here. So he lingered for 12 hours in a coma at UCLA Medical Center. And finally, his family turned off the life support. And he was only 22 years old. That's just so sad.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so he was buried at Forest Lawn Memorial Park. And his funeral was attended by Jack Albertson and Tony Orlando and Don and Sammy Davis Jr. Yeah, so friends thought that he was just joking and it was kind of an accident, a prank gone wrong, that he accidentally killed himself. But police investigators said they found a note in his apartment. That's, oh God, this, we're ending this downer episode.
Yeah, I know, dude. I can't go on. No. Yeah, so there's no going up from here.
Scott, bring us back to Happyville.
There's no happy. There's nothing happy going on here, man. It was a tragic death, and he died. The only kind of happy ending here is that in 1977, his death was ruled a suicide. However, in 1983, there was a civil case brought by Freddie Prinze's mother, and a jury found that his death was medication induced and accidental. Which means they got the life insurance money.
Yeah, but I guess the happy news is Freddie Prinze Jr. went on to have a really good career.
Yeah, we've got Freddie Prinze Jr.
But and here's something, I guess, lame Hollywood. So Freddie Prinze, after his death, Chico and the Man's, like, you know, one of the top, you know, sitcoms going in America at the time. What happened when they try to work things into the story script?
And what do they always do? We talked about this already. What always happens? They bring in a kid.
Yep. They brought in a kid who was also named Chico.
Oh.
Didn't have to change the name. And
maybe the kid was Germ-rican.
Yeah. He was a Germ-rican.
Yeah.
And in the storyline, they said that Chico had quit his job at the garage to go work for his father.
Oh.
What happened to Chico and the Man shortly after that?
It got canceled, dude.
It got canceled. That's right. Yep. That's right. So ends on a high point. Prinz received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame on December 14th, 2004. The star was paid for by actor and comedian George Lopez, who acknowledges that Prince inspired his career.
Ah, that was nice. That's a happy ending.
Yeah, let's end with that happy ending. There. So, I guess, Scott, what is your takeaway about the legacy of comedian Freddie Prinze?
Don't let it sneak up on you, man. Don't do too much cocaine.
Yeah, I would also say, you know, again, he was the first breakout star at the Comedy Store and probably the first breakout star of The Tonight Show, who just launched that whole era of 70s sitcoms where, you know, the comedian says their catchphrase to applause like every episode.
Yeah, awesome. The good old days.
So that concludes our history of Freddie Prinze, the first breakout star of the Comedy Store and The Tonight Show. And with that, it's time to plug away. Scott, what do you have to plug?
I have what I always have to plug, Harmon. I have another podcast called This is a President, where we feature presidents of the past, the past and not so distant past. On our YouTube channel and in a podcast as well.
For example, the future, if we're talking about the future. Biden.
Yeah, and we also put up two clips this week, Harmon. We put up one that actually features Biden in a guest appearance, and also today we just uploaded one that has a very racist Nixon talking about Indian women, how he's not attracted to them. So you can find those over at youtube.com/thisisthepresident. We also do a podcast, so you can find your favorite podcasts, like such as Stitcher, Last.fm, and of course Spotify.
Right. So if you like Comedy History 101, make sure to subscribe, like, and comment wherever you get your podcast or on our site, comedyhistory101.com. Also, become a sponsor of Comedy History 101 by supporting our Patreon page. You can find us at patreon.com/CH101. Become a monthly subscriber, and we will continue to put out great content that you love.
And you know, Harmon, I was just going to say, you can donate as much as you want. It could be as little as a dollar. You could donate $100 a month to us. That would be awesome, Harmon. Could you imagine that?
I can't imagine that. Okay, well, I can't imagine a dollar a month. That's all you have to do.
All you have to do, the price of a cup of coffee or less, and you can support us and our podcast.
Yeah, hear, hear, hear. And with that, thanks a lot for tuning in, and see you next time.
Bye-bye.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Good thing about doing comedy in Russia, you have captured audience.
You're stupid. Everybody's so stupid.
Comedy History 101.